This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kine.
Hi, I'm Greg Eubin, and I really enjoy applying architecture principles to Agile teams, as well as applying Agile principles to architecture.
This is the continuing episode of a series about software architecture with guest Greg Eubin. Now that we've kind of discussed how there's less focus today, there's less focus on upfront design with architecture, how do architects support Agile teams? I know you've talked a little bit about that, but maybe you want to expand on.
Sure. So I do view the architect as being a member of the team, the enterprise architect being a member of the team as much as possible. Ideally, they'd be supporting maybe a couple of teams that are related. And they're there because, again, they're more outward facing. So they have to build a network of their peers to be able to talk about that. And they're going to turn around. They're going to help the team understand those dependencies. They might be grabbing a story, and that story has a dependency on another team's work. Well, maybe some of that is, hey, we don't want to do that. And the architect and the scrum master probably should go talk to that other team saying, hey, when are you going to get this story done? We've got a dependency here. And so they help in that regard. They help the team look at long lead stories. So they're probably looking in the backlog further out. And that when they see some things that might need some architecture work, right, maybe system that the team is supporting is using a relational database. And now they need, you know, a caching database or a document database, something like that. But the team hasn't done that. So some upfront work might need to be done to pick the right technology or really understand, is that really the requirements or do we stay with relational? So we can put some stories in the backlog ahead of the one that's going to do the work to do that research. And so we can then pull some of that long lead items ahead to get that done. And we'll take, you know, the architect will take them on with that.
So I'm hearing enterprise architects have a relationship with lots of teams. And what would you say is a warning sign that they don't have a relationship with lots of teams?
I would say when they can't bring the big picture back to the team. So if they don't have that understanding of how that team's system that they're responsible for fits into the whole, they're probably not having the conversations with other team members. With their peers, right? They're not having the conversation with their peers.
The peers and being other architects or?
Other architects, yeah. other enterprise architects. When we start seeing fragmentation happening, so another system started doing the same thing that this team's system is doing or overlaps, right? So you end up with, it might not be whole overlap, it might be partial, but still it was, that's a sign that that enterprise architect is not talking to their peers, not finding out what's going on in other systems to be able to kind of get a handle on some of that fragmentation and make sure it's not occurring, right? So representing, hey, wait, the product or the system that I'm supporting this team does that. Why are you building it?
Cool. Let me think about this. So the enterprise architect is thinking about cross-team dependencies and is somehow able to keep in their mind these cross-team dependencies. How do they do that? Is it?
So we form like a, I don't know if I want to say the word guild, but I guess. <It's okay. laughs> On a regular basis, the enterprise architects are getting together and having the conversations around sharing what the team that they represent is doing. And that does a couple of things. It's establishing those boundaries for the system that the team that they're representing is building, and confirming those boundaries with with the other architect peers. Sometimes, and many times, when we do a design, some of the very large, when you start dealing with epics, epics are coming in, they tend to scatter across multiple systems in the ecosystem. And so you have to then pull in all of your peers to talk about how does this epic get broken down, who is the right system based on their responsibilities, and that should be with multiple architects, as well as the, and not just the architects, but also the lead developer, the software architect, application architect, right, as a pair coming together and having that conversation. Because one, it's the breakdown, but also it might also be some of the responsibilities. So it might be, hey, as a part of breaking down this large epic, we discovered that this system that really only needed 2 nines of availability, let's say, and it was fine if it went down because it wasn't critical, all of a sudden became like the most important system in the world, and it was not designed for that. And so having the lead developer as a part of that conversation, we can now start talking trade-offs. Okay. Does this system really need to be scaled up to 3 nines, 4 nines, 5 nines of availability, as an example? Or is it easier for the client to build in the resilience if that system's not available? And so this is where, obviously, the lead developers being a part of that conversation, we can talk about those trade-offs and what it means.
Okay, cool. Now that helps a ton, because what I'm hearing is enterprise architects, you know, because you can't be an architect when in a vacuum of information. And so the information that's coming to them is about the high level requirements, i.e. epics, that, and they're involved with at that level, and epics tend to be require cross-team organization, so all that makes sense. Because they work with those kinds of artifacts, i.e. epics coming before they get to teams, they have to understand, well, who's going to do, what teams are going to be involved with this, and then what information systems are they using, and see if it makes sense in their head. And if it doesn't make sense in their head, then they have to go visit people and ask questions and say, I don't know, this epic is going to do, it's going to cause doors to open in the hotel. I'm not sure how that's supposed to work right now. And so that'll cause them to like go start socializing with people. And in order to do the act of mapping an epic to teams, that'll be the forcing function for them to realize, oh, I don't know what's going on here. I have to go figure this out.
Exactly. And sometimes the epics come in and it's like, oh no, it's just for this one system, this one team.
Right.
For it. And the architect looks at it and goes, I've got dependencies on 5 other areas. I don't know if they're ready or they're capable. And so I need to pull in the pair, the outward and inward facing architects together from each one of those other systems. And then you start going to a whiteboard and drawing sequence diagrams and saying, how does this flow look? Does this make sense? And you might even discover, oh, we are missing like a system that doesn't exist. We need to create a new one. And so we're going to need a new team.
It doesn't exist. That's a pretty good realization. Right.
Ace is an agile consultant who shares space with a coffee shop in order to save on the rent. Meet this hard-boiled agile consultant and follow his adventures on helping his clients become agile no matter the circumstance. Scrum Noir, the project management comic book that teaches you agile, is available on Amazon. Just search for Scrum Noir, Noir. Check out the goodies in the show notes. There we will have links to some of the information that was mentioned in this show. And also you will see how to contact Greg Euben. What are show notes? Show notes are information that zaps into your podcast player when you subscribe to the show. If you downloaded this MP3 from a website, you can go back to the website, and on that page you will also see the show notes. The series started at episode 257. If you missed that episode,
go back to agilethoughts.info and there'll be a search box there where you can type in any episode number you care to look up. Next episode, more Greg Euben. How does one become an architect?
I always view an architect as an experience-based role. So coming through and doing software development, learning how the bits and bytes work, then moving up to a lead developer or application architect, where now your scope is bigger because you're looking at now all the code, not just modules of the system you were responsible for.